Kia ora, you're listening to The Morning Show, and this is Rodrigo speaking here. I'm just filling in for Aaron today. Aaron is not feeling very good, so I am filling in for Aaron during this morning show. And we have, we're going to have an interview now with Sarah Bing here, which is next to me, ready to go. And we're going to talk about the upcoming Raglan Arts Weekend that is starting this Saturday morning during the Labor Weekend here in our little village, Whangaroa. So, Sarah, thanks a lot for coming. It's great to have you here. I just became familiar with your work last night when Aaron said, hey, you got to do this interview tomorrow. Here I am. Here you are. Thanks for coming.
Cool. Thank you for having me, Rodrigo. Yeah, I'm very excited about the weekend. It's going to be good.
So it's all go, is it?
Yeah, it's all go. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've been prepping for about a month, but yeah, we'll get there.
Right.
Yeah.
So everything is ready to go. You know, the works and all displayed. Where are you going to be exhibiting?
So I'll be showing from my home studio on Upper Wainui Road. It's a big yellow house. You can't miss it just as you're starting to go up the road. Yeah, that's where I'll be.
Do you have like some new stuff, some older kind of works?
Yeah, so there'll be new work, there'll be old work. Obviously, Arts Weekend's been postponed for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it's a good amount of time to be amassing all that work. Yeah, I've been working on large ceramic sculptures lately, and they sort of take about 6 months to make. Mm. So, yeah, the pieces that I've got ready now, I started probably early in the year, and so it's nice to finally be able to show them off.
And a little bit about your work. So you're a potter maybe / ceramic artist.
Sure, yeah.
Crossing both boundaries.
Yeah, totally.
How's that working? You know, the this
Well, it's okay, sure. Yeah, I don't have any particular feelings about being referred to as a potter or a ceramic artist. Maybe I prefer potter because it feels more kind of, I don't know, humble and earthy, and it's easier for people to understand. Yeah, so I make functional work. I make like mugs and keep cups for sale over at Made Gallery. I teach the classes down at the old school, the wheel classes. And yeah, but my true passion is making giant sculptures out of pottery of random, fun, ridiculous things. So, yeah, I guess I wear quite a few little hats, but you got it right.
Yeah. You have to cross some boundaries and keep it refreshed, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, as an artist.
Yeah. I think I probably am an extrovert, and so, you know, working alone in the studio all day is not maybe that healthy, so it's good for me to teach classes and things.
So, like, this sort of fun and extrovert aspect that comes into your work, perhaps?
Yes, totally. Yeah, I think, I hope it shows through my work, I love colour and pattern and, definitely keen to sort of experiment and push boundaries with clay. So, but it's not the same being alone in the studio.
It can be very lonesome, you know.
So lonely.
The work of, any artist, I suppose, you know, if you're working by yourself in a studio, doing whatever work you do.
Yeah, totally.
It can be like that. And I was reading through here, there's, you know, your artist profile here at the Raglan Arts Weekend, and found really interesting now, like, do you sort of branching into this more architectural kind of do you want to talk us a little bit about
so we were renovating our house, and I have very expensive taste, but you know, I'm a potter, so I don't have the money for it. I needed tiles for the shower, and the ones I loved were just so much money. I thought, these are made out of clay. I have a kiln of clay. I could make these. So, so I made my own shower tiles, and that was great. And then I showed them off to some people at last Arts Weekend when it ran. Drummed up a few commissions from that. And, so I have started doing tiles and bathroom sinks and stuff as well.
And
good times.
What about this sort of large sculptures like that you could have, say, one could have in the garden, or what about those ones?
So they, so some of them can be indoors and outdoors. Some of them are indoors only. I've been using quite a lot of sort of gold luster and adding in other mixed media elements. So those ones need to stay inside, but the ceramic only ones can go outside. And yeah, I'll just, ideas will just pop into my head. I read heaps. I listen to lots of audiobooks. And so depending on whatever I'm reading, I'll get kind of wrapped up in that world of the book. And then the idea for the sculpture will just pop into my head and I'll just start. Do a very, very quick rough sketch and then start start straight in with the clay.
Right, so it's really in the moment kind of practice.
Yeah, that's what's so lovely about clay as a material, you know. You're just literally just moulding it and shaping it and you've got quite a lot of time to manipulate it. And then still, you know, with the glazing and the finishing, you've got a lot of opportunities to, yeah, just kind of flow with whatever you're feeling at the moment. And, it's good fun.
Yeah, that's really interesting, Sarah. And So you're saying that you read and you listen to music or audiobooks. Does anything else, like, do you look up at other artists or potters or ceramic artists as for inspiration?
Oh, I do. I try not to too much. Yeah. Like, you know, you get lost in the gram sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
But I try not to, because all the potters that I'm following are just sort of so much further ahead in their journey than I am, and I can find it quite kind of like, oh, they're making huge 5 meter high works and you know, just having all these amazing kilns to work with and materials. So I find their work super inspiring, and that's like where I want to get to. I want to make giant sculptures, but I try not to. Fail.
Because some of your work has say a little bit of like some kind of surrealist kind of twist on it. Do you kind of explore that? And
I don't, it's not a conscious decision, but I do really love like Haruki Murakami, who's a very surrealist writer. I love Gabriel Garcia Marquez. I'm munting the pronunciation. But you know, he has that real kind of magical realism to his work. So I, you know, and when I'm in a book, I'm very in it. So I think that kind of manifests. And I love listening to sort of psychedelic music and stuff like that. So I think that definitely manifests through the work that comes out.
What sort of music do you listen to when you're working? Psychedelic music? Pink Floyd or things like that?
It all depends. If I get, at, you know, the finishing stages, I have to, you know, listen to very serious podcasts, because otherwise I'll get too excited and start messing things up. But when I'm starting off and getting the initial form in, I don't know, I listen to like lots of sort of Tame Impala and stuff like that, and it's, it's good times.
That's actually quite a good question I ask artists sometimes, you know, what sort of music do you listen to when you're working, you know, because that tells a little bit about when the work and the artist itself and the practice, you know, so because I suppose we all do, you know, listen to some sort of music when we're doing our work in our studios there.
You know, can't help but influence what you're doing,
Because you need to get into that sort of headspace, you know. That's where people maybe don't, may or may not understand, like, you really need to get into some kind of headspace to create, to develop, to brainstorm.
Definitely.
And that kind of taking off stage is, I suppose, it's more intense, you know, when you kind of just brainstorming and playing, and then you boom, and then you do this big loop into a void.
Well, music's so good at that, isn't it? I mean, it's so easy to get into a good headspace with music, or a bad headspace, you know, whatever you're listening to, however you want to feel. It's so so evocative. It's such a cool tool.
Okay, and the Arts Weekend, are you going to be open for the whole 3 days? Saturday?
All day, every day.
All day, every day. So Saturday, 10 to 5. Sunday, same. And Monday?
I'm sure Monday's 10 to 5 as well.
10 to 5.
I think so.
And Monday will be those sort of like last minute specials or something?
I mean, Monday's generally quite quiet, I think. Is it? You know, all the tourists like got their 10 a.m. checkouts, got to head home. In my experience, people will kind of come on the first day and then think about things, and then maybe race in. They'll be like, yes, I do want that thing on Monday. So
then they'll come back on Monday morning, first thing to get it before they hit the road.
Yeah.
And so you said you had, you know, there's a, of course, there's a lot of preparation. I imagine, you know, I'll be one of the exhibitors myself, so I know what that takes. You know, all that kind of prep work, getting ready, having stock ready. So what is, so you there now, like you ready to go?
Yeah.
Talk us through a little bit, please.
So my prep work for Arts Weekend usually starts about sort of 6 months in advance. Okay. So the making process, even for a mug, you know, it's 1 month minimum. Like right now, anything I make, I can't. You know, it's just going to be raw clay on the day.
Yeah.
So I need to give myself lots of time to prepare.
Experiment as well, yeah, I suppose.
Totally. Yeah. And you have so many failures with clay. So many. So you've always got to build in time for explosions and like the kiln died. So I had to sort all that out. So I've been preparing for about 6 months and then just making away and thinking about what I want to be showing. Cleaning the studio, the huge pig pen that it is.
Because, we had those postponements.
Yes.
So I think it was two times. So, like, I had some work ready for the first one, for example, then it postponed for the second, and the second one I knew was coming, so yeah. I don't know if you had that feeling too.
Totally. Yeah. The whole time I was cleaning my studio, like, you know, I'd set aside a month. I was getting everything ready.
Yeah.
I was cleaning my studio. I was like, it's not even going to happen. Yeah. Is there any point doing this? Yeah. I mean, you've got a clean studio then, so that's always positive. But it was such a shame.
Mm.
So it's very exciting.
Yeah. So now we're actually going ahead. That's exciting.
Yeah.
We're going ahead. And it starts on Saturday. Great. So, and you mentioned about the work you do at the Creative Waikato as well.
Started doing, they run an Elevate program through Creative Waikato. So they're just doing the pilot for it at the moment. So I think I'm in the sort of fifth or sixth cohort that's been through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's free. It's all funded by the government. And basically you get workshops and mentoring for 9 months about how to become, you know, a financially sustainable artist.
Uh-huh.
So it takes you through kind of all the different aspects of what that would look like. And and it's been super, super helpful. It's been amazing.
So
yeah.
You kind of facilitate or workshop with other artists?
So they run workshops all day on a Wednesday, where you and your group, there's about 20 of us in my group, all different mediums.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite cool.
Is that quite challenging, this sort of commercial part for an artist to deal with?
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm not a businesswoman, you know, little entrepreneur. No, it's super challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't want to be dealing with like bloody marketing and admin and computer stuff. I just want to be making, you know?
Yeah.
So I've always found that super challenging and I've really resented the time that I've had to spend marketing myself because I feel like it's taking me away from
making work.
Yeah. So the course has been really good in helping me to kind of reframe my feelings around that. And
yeah. I suppose it's good for like grounding your practice, you know, commercially. Okay, this is what I need to do. Or are there any sort of like big, you know, sort of top of the list things that you could recommend an artist to like look for?
Wow. So my favorite exercise probably was they got us to just write for 7 minutes, just kind of free writing about where like our dream scenario in 3 years. So you know, you're living your dream life, you're in your dream studio space, you know, what does it look like, what work are you making, who's around you, you know, the whole situation. What does your dream day look like in 3 years time?
Right.
And then we worked through the sort of psychological barriers that are currently holding us back from, you know, being able to get to that dream space. And so it was really motivating thinking about, you know, having been immersed in that dream of like a sunny, warm studio surrounded by other creatives. To think about that and think, that's probably achievable, you know, totally. If I can just, you know, pull finger and work through these psychological blocks that I have. You like dream big, man. And
dream big.
Work out why you're not doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And try to do it.
Exactly. Give yourself something to work towards.
So what's your big dream? Can you share with us, please?
Well, so, yeah, obviously I love reading. So yeah. I'd love to have like a bookshop with a studio next door to it.
Mm.
Like a cafe, like just kind of a
nice
creative-y complex.
Yeah.
So I'd be working in a studio. There'd be other, probably ceramic artists. I don't think clay mixes very well with other medium. It's a little bit messy. But working in a kind of collaborative space with other people, so it's not so lonely.
That's cool.
Just like a creative community space where people can pop in and out and
yeah.
There's a bit of a vibe going on. Yeah.
I had this dream once too, similar to yours.
Yeah.
Like setting up a kind of cafe or a studio gallery space where you have photographs displayed with, you know, live music at times and nice fresh coffee and things like that.
Dreamy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it didn't happen though. Well, hey, there's still time.
When
you do that, you can add on an extra, you know, extra area for the clay artists.
We'll
just have like a big collaborative creative space.
Maybe we should do a joint venture then.
Yeah, there you go. Sorted.
Okay, here we go, Raglan. Watch out.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. Cool. Is anything else you want to talk about or mention?
I don't think so. Yeah, just I'd love to see you up at the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super excited about showing off the works that I've been working on lately. And
exciting things.
Yeah, I'll be making stuff as well if I get a chance. I'm sure I will. So, yeah, come say hi.
Lots of colour.
Lots of colour.
Yes.
Yes. Do not be expecting white things.
No. Yeah. So go and visit Sarah Bing on her studio, Upper Wainui Road, the yellow house on the right.
Yeah, that's right.
I think I know where it is.
Yeah, you do.
I used to live there back in the day.
Nice.
It's a lovely neighborhood up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like it. And yeah, go visit Sarah. Also visit me here at the little gallery.
Totally. La Petite Galerie.
La Petite Galerie from Saturday, starting at 10 as well. Hopefully 10. I'll get there earlier. But
early in the morning.
Yeah, set it up.
Yeah.
I haven't set up yet, so we'll get there.
In a day or two.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, thanks a lot, Sarah, for coming down and having this great chat. And I won't have a chance to go and visit you probably, but if I do, I'll go up there and to say hello. Please support all the local artists. Go visit, set up your itinerary, I suppose traveling plan, and go for it. Yeah, Sarah wants to
also. I just say remembered. I have one more thing to say. I did a collaboration with Sam Mathers, who's our next door neighbour. The lovely painter. So that's down at his studio. I sculpted a big cobra and he's painted it all up and it looks
sick. Cool.
It looks really cool. So go check that out too. Yeah.
The big cobra.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks again, Sarah.
Thanks.